Okay, I'll settle for a little sick. Maybe crash my car. I want a drug that makes me less than 3 feet thick. Roth Radio. Roth Radio, we are your new drug. 866-313-3733. That's Bad Brian Young in the background. This swing it, baby. Yeah, yeah. Oh. One man band. Be bad, be young. My very, very, very special, special guest, my sister, Lisa Roth. Say hello to New York, baby.
My brother. Hello, New York.
Animal, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. D-Row, how are you doing today?
See, he got it right. Because I'm having like, you, in America, you can reinvent. In America, you can change. And it turns out that Kevin Federline doesn't want to be called K-Fed. He's calling up a little bit later, I think, what, 9 o'clock, some such? 9 o'clock.
You owe him an apology.
I already owe him an apology. We haven't even started the interview. Look, I'm supporting this kid. He's got a burgeoning hip-hop career. He's got video coming up. He's got a divorce or two that we're going to read about in the future. You know, you only get remarried once or twice in this business.
Think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Kevin's been places that, even though I've been around the world, he's been places I would never have dared to even dream of going. Well, you never know. The show could be popular. I could run in. Well, never mind. A fella could get lucky, but not on his diet. We're talking about diet, and this is the worst day of the year, as Hutch was saying earlier, right?
It's supposed to be the most depressing day of the year
today. Why is that?
Because January 24th is approximately the time when all your visa bills are going to come in from Christmas.
So. Well, I'm going to tell you that we're celebrating today. Put the music up a little bit here, because we found a pill that's going to enable me to have the number two happy meal. That's two cheeseburgers, the extra large fries, the trough of vanilla shake. I'm going to have a bucket of fries. Can you get a bucket of fries? I'm going to bring my own bucket.
Well, and on the most depressing day, you're going to have more people overeating.
There you go. That's comfort food.
It
makes
That's
you feel,
right.
makes you feel warm. It makes you feel loved. It's all the same chemicals going off in your brain, right?
Like any addiction.
Animal, have you? Yeah. What is your favorite food when you were a kid? I described the white trash sandwich, you know, with the three pieces of tomato, and you let the juice run down your elbows into the sink. What kind of food like that did you have in Alabama?
My favorite food when I was a kid, I would say neck bone and rice.
What is neck bone and rice? I think, aren't they on Sony? What is neck bone and rice?
Well, it's kind of like the part of the pork you throw away, but you put it in a pot and boil it up with rice. It gives the rice a good pork taste.
No, wait, that's the neck bone of a pig?
Yeah.
Wow. And does it have the skull still on it?
Well, you can get the skull if you want it, but, you know, we just had a little meat around the bone. It bars off into the rice, and it's really good.
And you don't have anything in there? It's just the flavored rice?
Yeah, you know, you put salt and pepper to taste and all that kind
of
stuff.
What part of the country does this come from?
Alabama, Covington County.
And that's where in Alabama?
Oh, what about you say?
Whereabouts is that in Alabama?
Andalusia.
I know where that is. It's like 60 miles south of
Montgomery.
Montgomery.
Yeah.
And that's considered, is that considered po' boy food, or is that considered a delicacy?
That's a delicacy there. Po' boy food is like when you're eating Jack Micah salmons and rice.
What's that?
Oh, you don't want to know, boy. It's very nasty.
I do want to know. Go ahead. Break with it. What is it?
Well, it looks like sardine. Packed in a can, then you take it out, it stinks real bad, you fry it up with onions.
What does it smell like?
Ooh.
No, really.
Somebody's feet. They had the shoes on too long or something.
Is this government issue? Is this like government?
Oh, no, this wasn't government issue right here, but the rice was.
And government rice shows up in what, like a big burlap sack?
Yeah, it came in a big bag. I think it was 10-pound bags.
Okay, and that's regular white rice grown in the United States?
Yeah, regular white rice, yeah.
Now, how did you figure out how to eat right? Because you're 6'5", and there's not an ounce of fat on you, man.
We add a lot of rice. Well, you know, like, my diet was, you know, like, when I was real big and everything, you know, I ate a lot of protein, you know, that was my thing. But when I got my little illness and everything, you know, like, the pill that I took what's called hydroxy cut. That was the only thing that I saw results in, and it came with a lot of you know, side effects, like what Lisa was talking about.
Okay, now hold on. When you were at your peak in the gym, how much could you bench press?
About 600 in a wet in a rubber suit with a 3-second pause.
And what were you eating?
But who's counting?
I was eating a lot. You know,
now,
I was eating.
What would you have eaten for breakfast in that day? In that time
back then, I would eat something like 8 eggs.
With the yolks, 8 eggs with the yolks?
8 eggs with the yolks, a lot of grits and cheese, and about, I don't know, 10 pieces of toast maybe.
Wow, with butter on it and sugar and stuff like that?
Butter and all that, butter, jelly, all of that.
See, now you're going to be able to go back on this diet because you're going to have the little pill, right?
No, because of my condition, I don't think so.
I think that if you're willing to spend half your time in the bathroom, that this becomes the issue. But then you lose all your friends from the flatulence, et cetera, here.
Well, they got one that won't give you the cubby quails. It's called Lipo 6. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
No, I've never even heard of the cubby quails.
That's diarrhea down south.
Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Everybody has their own variation. Lisa, you look expectant.
No, I was just handed an email.
And what's the email?
It says, "Hello, Dave and Lisa. Actually, I want to know more about your condition, but let me read this email. Hello, Dave and Lisa. I was wondering what Lisa thought about detoxing your body every couple of months."
Okay, as far as detoxing, what do you mean by detoxing? Is this, you mean like niacin or some kind of purgative or whatever? Because that's popular now too, right?
Yeah, it's very popular.
What do they mean by detoxing? When they write that to you, what does that mean to you, Lise? What is he referring to specifically?
I automatically think of like dietary detoxes, like juice diets or colonics.
Okay, let's start with juice diets because I have.
Let's start with colonics.
Well, you got a poopy outlook. You got a crappy outlook. No, because if you eat too much juice, you'll get to the colonics, okay? There's nothing natural. I'm going to maintain this. You speak to it if you would. There's nothing natural about taking the juice from 16 apples, squeezing it into the extra large, big gulp size cup, mixing it with some yogurt or whatever for flavor, and a whole bunch of protein powder, etc. I maintain that's completely unnatural, and that's even three times as hard for your system to adjust to as just a simple candy bar. What do you think?
I think you're brilliant.
Well, but I learned it from you, kid.
I know. Exactly.
No, seriously, is that a truth?
No, it is the truth. I mean, if you're going to drink your food, you're going to have sugar issues. How many apples does it take to make a glass of juice?
I'm
going to
guess 6.
Could, depending on the type of apple. That's a lot of sugar.
Man.
Probably should eat your food because you also get the fiber.
There you go. So I'm talking about high protein smoothies now. You see Jamba Juice, and there are many, many juice stores and protein smoothies. What about that?
Same thing. People think that it's a well-rounded, good meal, when in fact it's really high in sugar.
And it's really high in fat, too, isn't it?
It can, depending on what they put in it. Some of them put ice cream and yogurts and all kinds of stuff.
Ice cream's loaded with fat, right?
Yeah.
All the good stuff.
You know what? I want to make something clear, though.
Please.
I don't think anybody can be successfully healthy and fit without indulging in the things they like.
100%.
No, you don't indulge 100%, David.
Well, no, 20% of the time you indulge 100%.
Correct. Deprivation is not the key here.
Virtue is its own reward, too, Square. Anyhow, Casey Stengel, the great ball coach, wrote a long time ago, you know, when they started trying all these cleanup diets and everything, his players started experiencing all kinds of small injuries, you mm-hmm. know, little stretches and sprains and mm-hmm. et cetera. He had a very famous quote that all of his players had to have a full-size steak and a slab of pie at least once a week. And once he installed that and everybody got back on it, boom, all those little stresses and strains started to go away, or at least they imagined them away.
No, I believe it. I was just going to say, do you think that was physical or emotional? But there's really no difference. It's all connected.
If the result is what you want, then hey, whatever road you took, you're saying, right?
Yeah. I find it very interesting, though, that they started to come up with these physical issues. And I was just asking you, are you saying that it was emotional? It was their perception that they're being deprived and they started to manifest.
No, I think it's that when you zero out your fats and you zero out your sugars,
right,
and you zero out all the, you know, all the good toxic waste and all the additives and everything like that, that something happens.
Your body zeroes out.
Oh, yeah. When I stop eating red meat, for example, I become entirely too approachable and sensitive to other people's feelings. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733, and I am dying to be sensitive with you, Cindy. Cindy, talk to us. Roth Radio, you're in the spotlight. Good to go.
Oh, good morning. My God, I'm negotiating traffic waiting for you. This is so much fun.
Okay, what's up, Cindy?
I thought David Trudeau pegged it when he said that the food industry, the foods are all processed. So, of course, there is no nutritional value left. And Lisa said it too. Start with intestinal cleansing and balance the system. That's the good way to get the body back into balance.
Okay, and, stop. Hold on 1 second. Let's understand this. Let's be clear on this. You're saying that intestinal cleansing, is that the postmodern word for colonics, and which is the postmodern for get your tush together? Is that what you're suggesting?
Basically, the elimination, it's a process elimination, and it would start, that would be the genesis of everything, I think, to start with an intestinal cleansing, liver cleansing, rebalance the system again.
Hold on 1 second. Speak to that, please.
Yeah, I have to, I am not a proponent of that.
Why
I think
not?
It's another quick, easy, it makes you, your stomach feel flat immediately, which is the immediate gratification. Your body is built to cleanse itself.
Well, more importantly, you look like your stomach is flat right away, and for about 48 hours.
Yes, it's
okay.
Very seductive.
Okay, and continue. Go
but ahead. It's baloney. It has no...
Roth family breakfast. Go ahead. This is interesting.
Yeah, no, it has, your body is built to do it itself. If you start doing it for it, it's going to forget how to do it on your own. And it's seductive. There are a million spas out there, very high-priced spas. A lot of celebrities go to right before a award show or something like that so they can fit into their dresses. And you know what? I have no problem with that if they want to do it once in a while.
Let a little pressure out of the tire,
yes,
for rough terrain. Is that
but to think that it has some long-term medicinal value is, again, cutting corners.
You got to be careful, you know, if you're going to go sticking something up your tush there.
Well, that's the other thing. It can damage yourself. There's been a lot of problem with punctured colons.
I've been doing business with Warner Brothers for 20 years, and I've got a contract so far up there. You're not kidding. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm gritting my teeth. Go ahead.
Oh my God.
Get out. Shut up. I got it out.
And you know what? Cindy, you know, she's talking for America. People think that if you cleanse and you balance out, you're starting clean. But there's really no such thing. Your body cleanses on its own.
Roth Radio, my sister, Lisa Roth here. Tell them a little bit of your history here, Lisa, as I'm going to check out on the next fill here. What is your background in this? Go ahead.
In cleansing? Or?
No. Yeah, wise guy.
Yeah, I've already said I was a nutritionist for 20 years, private practice, physiology major in school, daughter of a doctor.
There you go. This is where I got half of my information, you know.
Yeah, and I come from a very moderate standpoint. I don't believe in extremes. I don't believe in diets, deprivation, that kind of thing. I believe in getting to the bottom of what the issue is.
I believe in extremes, yin and yang, see? So I was celebrating. I came here celebrating that we found a new drug. I want a new drug, you know, and that I'm going to be able to eat the Big Mac, number one meal. I changed it. Brian's looking at me. I've upgraded, man. I'm going to have the Big Mac meal now with the trough of fries.
Wait, you're lying.
And the bucket of pop.
You're a cheeseburger guy.
Well, there's cheese on the Big Mac. Wise girl. Roth Radio, New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland. Congratulations, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. 866-313-3733. What is the Atkins diet? Hold on. I want to talk to Jay about that. Jay, Roth Radio, you're good to go.
Hey, how you doing? I want to say thank I appreciate your show. And I listen to you every morning now. The Atkins diet is a guy named Dr. Axe. Started this thing probably about 20 years ago, wrote two or three books on it, and I was wondering if Lisa knew anything about it. I mean, this is the second time I've done it. The first time I did it was about a year and a half ago, and I stayed on it for like 2 weeks. It's where you eliminate all the carbs.
Okay, hold on a second. Lise, go ahead, break with this one.
There's that word again, eliminate. No, it's one of the, it was the precursor to all the high protein, low carbohydrate diets.
Okay.
Again, an extreme.
And what do they suggest? What's the general suggestion?
That you cut out all carbs. This is the diet where you're allowed to eat a lot of fat and protein, which is a pure joy for someone like me.
Yeah, but how do you get the bullet out of the shotgun without wadding?
Excuse me?
It's a dietary term.
Firearms term.
Use your filthy
imagination. I missed that in nutrition school.
It's a ballistic approach to fiber. But go ahead. Regal us.
No, this is... And you know what? All diets work initially. And there I can, you know, of course, we don't want to go into the whole physiological discussion of how high protein, low carbohydrate works. But you will shed fat like crazy. The problem is, even a diet that uses the foods that you love so much, you get sick of. And you want carbohydrates. Everybody loves carbohydrates. And the minute you start eating them again after being on a diet like this,
ooh.
Yeah, the body goes, whoa, I haven't had this in a while. I'm holding on to this.
Visions of lollipops dancing in your brain.
Wait, Jay is saying something. Was that your experience?
No, when I did it last time, I was only on it for 2 weeks because I didn't take the multivitamins with it, so I was getting sick from it. And my friend, his mother's a nurse, and they couldn't understand why, so I didn't take the multivitamins. I've been on it for about a week now. I started last Monday, and like I said, I do miss a lot of that stuff you're talking about, and the only thing I'm getting sick of is cheese.
So you're getting sick of what?
Eating cheese.
Okay, Lise, go ahead on that.
Well, yeah, it's exactly what we're talking about. You're going to get sick when you're being deprived. And actually, on the Atkins diet or most high-protein diets, you're in a state of ketosis.
Sure.
Which is a toxic state that comes from using your protein and fat as energy versus carbohydrates. Why your goal would be to stay in a toxic state?
At least just for a weekend, Lise.
Fine. Well, like I said, I'm moderate. A weekend of toxins, fine. A lifetime?
Yeah. Well, I've turned it into a lifetime, but these are tricks done by professionals. Under professional supervision.
People are individuals, too. You know, some people can handle high protein. Some not so much.
One pill makes you larger. The other pill makes you look great naked. The other pill makes you harder. And the other pill grows your hair back. And this pill will send you into the matrix. And this pill will enable you to tell them you don't remember.
One pill makes you larger.
How'd she know that? Roth Radio, we're good to go. Are we going for the spots? Commercials, a very important part of my diet.
David Lee Roth, mornings.
Like a pill, baby. I'm a pill this morning. Play it, Brian. Maybe if he plays high enough, I'll lose weight. Brian Young on the guitar. David Lee Roth, my very special guest in attendance. Lisa Roth, my sister. How are you, Lise? Put her microphone on there, Hutch. There you go. Hey, at least we're not in the helicopter, huh?
Not yet.
At least I'm not on a diet yet. I'm having trouble figuring out which ones that I should start with.
How about none?
My diet is pretty good now, but I'm always looking for that pill that's going to allow me to go to McDonald's and eat what I want to eat. We were raised on that, right?
Join the human race. We're all looking for the pill.
Remember when we were good, which was arguably infrequent, but when as little kids, when we were good, we got to go to McDonald's. That was the greatest thing.
That was the treat.
Wow. No more salmon patties with ketchup.
Do you remember that?
Vividly. I'm scarred for life.
Oh, my gosh.
You remember that? Liver and onions. Boiled tongue.
Oh.
Grandma's coming to visit brisket.
Yeah, Yeah, but now brisket?
No, I'm going to have to disagree with that. Like I said, I'm scarred emotionally. Roth Radio, we're talking diet, 866-313-3733. DavidLeeRoth.com. Here's one from Dublin, Ireland. Here's my favorite sandwich, says Mark Flood from Ireland. A battered burger. Oh, that's the Tina Turner version, right? That's the Tina Turner burger. Lightly battered.
Very bad.
Can't all be gems. It's 7:30 in the morning. Knock it off. Here's my favorite sandwich. A battered burger, cheese, and mayo put into a sandwich grill. Oh, yeah. Washed them down with a burrito and a couple of white Russians. Sounds like my last manager. Next time you're in Dublin, give us a shout and I'll make you the monster. This sounds like something you may have been raised on, Animal. Is that your kind of sandwich?
Kind of sound like a pig ear sandwich in disguise.
You actually ate a pig ear, or do you chew on it like a canine?
Nah, you chew on it. It's really soft after you boil it. You have to, like, boil it and stuff, man. It's really good.
That's a legit... Lisa, you're laughing at me.
Yeah.
People give their pets a pig ear. Is that not really a pig ear? It's just a piece of plastic shaped like a pig ear?
No, it is a pig ear. However, I believe he's speaking about something different. Continue, Animal. Yeah. Ignore him.
Oh, no. It's a real sandwich down south. It's a pig ear sandwich. You take the ears off the pig and you boil them up. And then you put them in between two pieces of bread with mustard and hot sauce.
What kind of hot sauce?
Of your choice. Mine was like ass-kicking hot sauce.
That's the name of it, right?
Right.
I know that hot sauce.
It's called lazy ass kicking. And that's what it's called. I know lazy is on it. Lazy ass hot sauce. That's it.
I think it's made by Dave's. Dave's makes a number of... No, they make a number of hot sauces there and stuff. I'm totally addicted to hot sauce. How about you, Lisa?
No, I can't.
I'm very addicted to it. If you don't put hot sauce on it, I really don't want it.
Hot sauce is completely addictive. Yeah, are you kidding?
When I was younger, I used to wouldn't eat nothing unless it had syrup on it. It didn't matter what it was. If syrup wasn't on it, I wasn't going to eat it.
My favorite hot sauce sounds like a condom. It's called Royal Bohemian Triple X. I'm that good. Roth Radio. Yeah. Somebody says that Donna says she's either eating too much or, like me, she's thinking about eating too much. Talk to us, Donna. Share, if you would.
Good morning. How are you, Donna?
Hi, Donna.
I'm good. This is Donna the Embalmer. I've spoken to you once before.
Oh, certainly. We were talking about... I recollect exactly that conversation. Go ahead.
Okay. I made a New Year's resolution not to overeat anymore. And by that, I mean I don't clean my plate. I push my plate away when I get that feeling that I've had enough. And I've already lost 4 pounds since Christmas.
Okay, that's a good accelerated rate. But at least, does that kind of a diet actually work? If you're just pushing things away, isn't that like legislating human behavior out of existence? I made a rule, so now I don't feel it anymore. Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind that I wanted to ask is, why didn't you do that before? And I don't mean that in a critical way.
I'll tell you why I didn't do it before, for two reasons. First of all, growing up a good Italian little girl, I was always told to clean my plate.
Okay.
So it was a habit. And the second thing is I live alone and I cook for one, and I always seem to cook too much.
Well, so what you're talking about...
Then I used to clean my plate. It was like a vicious cycle.
What you're talking about is portion control.
Yes. And
which I flunk at.
You can't.
So I make sure I have to feel very, very full and satisfied. I'm Jewish. And you got to eat a lot at each meal. So what I've done is figure out what my body can handle, and I still don't feel deprived.
Do you eat red meat now, Lise?
Oh, you know I do.
Because for a long time, you did not.
Never. And when I started again, I mean, it changed me.
How did it change you?
I have a different energy. It's the most amazing thing.
Does your brain work better?
My brain works better. My body works better.
You recover a little more quickly?
I do.
Because you know I'm a major component of red meat.
Seriously. I love it.
Seriously. Yeah. That's why we're going to win this war.
That's right. I love red meat.
No sleep till Baghdad. Yeah. Donna, thanks for calling us. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Somebody found a pill that helped him lose 80 pounds. I don't know. Maybe he took enough of them and his girlfriend left him. Here we go. Mike, you're on Roth Radio. Good to go.
Hey, Dave. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I took a pill called Zenadrin. I lost 80 pounds on it.
What is that, Lise? Do you know what that pill is?
Well, it's another amphetamine. Anything with an N at the end.
Or ephedrine. It has ephedrine or something in there.
It did have ephedrine in it.
What does it have in it, Mike?
It did have ephedrine.
Oh, it did have ephedrine.
Do they make it anymore?
I'm sorry?
Do they make it anymore?
Well, you can. You can only get it at a mom and pop store in Nassau, the one with ephedra. So.
I see the line forming now at the store.
Just prior to the Metallica concert, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever had heart palpitations? You know, does that stuff pick your heart rate up? That make you sweaty and go fast? Is that what happens?
Well, when I worked out with it, all I did was run with it. But when I ran, it did a little bit, but nothing where I had to be like. Gotta go to the hospital or anything.
How old are you, Mike?
Me, I'm 22.
Call us back in about 7 years,
yeah.
Mike. Stay on this.
Hopefully.
Stay on this 3 times a day. And we'll admire your handiwork in a while here. But I understand what he's talking about.
Of course.
Ephedrine is being peddled to us just the same way as we peddle junk food to the kids in school. This is okay if you take it in conservatively, if you apply it like a professional. Who applies this stuff as a professional?
No.
I can't even spell ephedrine. If I take one Sudafed, I start talking like this. I mean, like I've been talking. You should hear me with Sudafed. Yeah. Roth Radio, good to go. New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, from Roanoke to Rio. Kathy, she says something about, I'm going to let Kathy talk about it. Roth Radio, you're on. Go, Kathy.
Hi,
Kathy.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Excellent, my dear. You're talking to my sister, Lisa Roth, here, who actually has a background in nutrition. Go ahead, swing.
Hi, good morning. I was just calling with regards to the Atkins diet.
Yo.
And I just wanted to let everyone know that it's not eliminating carb intake. It's just reducing your carb intake. For instance, my husband lost about 60 pounds last year, and I started the Atkins diet. Day after Christmas, I've lost about 14 pounds, and I just reduced my carb intake. I consume about 20 carbs a day. 20 carbs a day. A little extreme for most folks, but, I mean, I'm having a T-bone steak with a garden salad. I mean, chicken parmesan.
Okay,
no
Lise,
breading.
Hold on.
Okay.
You make it sound glamorous. Go ahead,
no,
Lise.
It is. I love that food. It's just how long can you do that, and were you following the Atkins diet by the book? Because I do know that
they eliminate all of the carbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you say you eliminate all of the carbs,
well, they say no, you can have carbs in the form of vegetables.
Okay, but suppose you
to
eliminate
me, that is not a carb.
If you eliminate all of your carbs and you're eating nothing but red meat, okay, or whatever kind of protein like that and stuff like that, you eliminate all that fiber, all that carbs, and so forth. Then if you get on this show and you say, well, I lost 8 pounds in 1 week. Yeah, it's in the hemorrhoids hanging out of your that's what I meant by how do you get the bullet to come out of the shotgun without the wadding? Speak to that, please.
Well, you know, for those people that are looking at the Atkins, it's an alternative way of losing some weight. You don't have to go too extreme. I'm eating a low-carb bagel as we're speaking, so.
Okay, you see, that's moderation, Kathy, and I agree with that.
I never agree with moderation, but my sister is looking at me like I have six eyes, and I'm going to have to go with the court on this. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Animal, what do you got to say? You're looking expectant.
No, as you guys know, my wife, she's into food service, too. She's a food service director, and I just called her to ask her that liquid diet that she used to teach that she was so against. It was called UltraFast. Remember that?
UltraFast?
UltraFast program. She said that. What they did was they would, like, put them on this liquid diet for about 3 or 4 months, get them to lose the weight, and then they'll come back in and rehabilitate them and teach them how to eat the right stuff. But then that's where the problem came in at.
Yeah.
They would, like, drop out of the class, and then they would come back a year later back overweight and all that stuff. And she was very against it. And that was kind of one of the reasons she kind of left Kaiser Hospital, because she didn't like teaching that, because she knew it wouldn't work.
Well, it's primarily carbohydrates. Yeah. That's super sugar load, usually, when you're drinking a shake or something.
No. Yeah. The shakes are also, they're high in protein. That's what Oprah did. Remember the shakes back in the 70s
sure.
and 80s?
Slim Fast, Ultra Slim, and so forth.
These were hospital promoted drinks,
yeah,
though, is what
hospital,
he's saying.
Yeah.
And they don't do that anymore?
No, the liquid diets. No. Too many. Well, you know what? There are still hospitals teaching schools that have programs like this. But
what happened to the program? It didn't work?
Well, like every other extreme diet.
What? Yeah. Go ahead.
By the wayside. Gone. They don't work.
It just never worked, huh?
No.
I can't imagine drinking your diet.
Well, and well, a taste of putrid.
Stop it. Shut up. That disincludes martinis.
Oh, come on. I thought you were talking about the martinis, Matt. Come on, man. That's the best diet ever.
We're not discontinuing any old traditions.
Yeah. But all jokes aside, everybody that's listening, the best exercise is just walk, man. Just if you can't run, walking, the weight will eventually come off.
Yeah, but even walk. There, you told me that. You told me that 2 weeks ago. You said you got to walk two miles a day. Five days. Brian told me that. 5 days later, I called you up. I said I'm 10 miles from the nearest cell phone. What do I do now? Go to the commercial instead of a diet.
David Lee Roth mornings.
Roth, 6 a.m. Roth Radio, David Lee here, my very special guest, Stan the Man. How are you this morning, Stan?
Good morning, D-Ro.
Do you think D-Ro is an appropriate moniker? You think it works for me?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Do you think this could become popular, right?
Oh, definitely.
Have you met my sister, Lisa Roth?
Yeah, nice to meet you,
Hi,
Lisa.
Hi, Stan.
We're looking for a nickname for her, too. Stan is our musical inspiration here. He is our, like Siskel and Ebert, Siskel and Roper, Roper and Ebert. In terms of the rock and roll, we do our weekly, I'm telling Lisa here, we do our weekly album review. If it's not a great album, it could take 42 seconds. If it's a good album, it could last the entire rest of the program.
Okay. I get it.
Okay. So in terms of, before I even start, did you hear Natasha Bedingfield?
Oh, she was awesome yesterday.
You heard her do her two songs?
Yeah, yes. Really good.
You know how hard that is to come in here this early in the morning and rev up, spin up that engine like that?
Yeah, definitely. I know, like this morning when I was on my way here, I was listening to Brian play. I said, wow, how does he do that so early in the morning?
He never goes to bed. He plays along with the tracks. I said, instead of bring the whole band, which ultimately we will, but that's a bit predictable at this point in the career. Yeah. I said, let's invent something new, like they did with sampling or what have you. And I call it track sampling or track slapping or whatever. Turn the track up a little bit or play a little bit with it there, Brian.
That sounds so good. Great.
Really
you can tell he's been somewhere where there's belly dancers and curry lately.
Yeah, right?
We do it like a contest. We never tell him what the next loop is going to be because all of these tracks in the background that you hear is my personal record collection. You can see I do it old school. I got two big boxes of CDs.
Right.
And all the loops in the background as well as the songs that we bumper, in the beginning and the end is personal collection. Joel Hollander, from CBS Infinity, whichever, is like, he's a danger-loving visionary. That they would even give me this job and let me make my choices like this musically.
Right.
So we decided we did Rolling Stones last week.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And have you gone back and listened to...
Matter of fact, yesterday a friend of mine played a CD of the concert from Madison Square Garden. They already got it bootlegged.
Okay. How much does a bootleg of a concert 4 days ago cost?
Depending. It usually goes by the CD. If it's one CD, it might be like $20 to $25. If it's two CDs, it'll be like $50.
And this comes in a plain brown wrapper kind of thing, or does it have artwork?
Well, some of them come in like a plain wrapper, but some of them come with the jewel case, with cardboard.
Full packaging,
full thing. Yeah, it's like almost like you bought it a regular pressing.
How would they have made a tape recording of the Stones concert? What does it sound like? What's the quality
level? The quality is really good. Well, I guess people go with a DAT machine or some kind of recorder. And they got mini microphones. I even seen one time at a concert, a guy had two microphones in his hat. They look like two eyeballs. And he was sitting there, like, nonchalant, just listening to the concert.
And these days you could take two cell phones, position them on the 50-yard line, one on one side, one on the other, beam it back to your Walkman or your computer,
mix
it later off of the two phones, and now you have a postmodern cell phone mix.
And some bands allow... They have certain sections where they let the people set up microphones and record.
Okay, well, this is popular now. The Who do that. They routinely record every concert, and you can buy that on the internet, correct?
Right.
I think you showed me that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, Stan is my connect to all of this kind of stuff. We're always trading records, you know, and we're always trading ideas, especially coming from, well, it's anything, from Natasha to classic rock.
Right.
And it was Stan who said, Dave, let's talk a little bit about the stuff that impacted us, you know.
Right.
No pun intended towards the dietary commentary. So I'm not impacted.
Yeah, matter of fact, please, I could use a diet myself, but I don't want to take no pills that I'm going to be crap in my pants.
You know? Well, this is an issue. It's like certain scenes are not fit for younger viewers, huh?
Yeah.
Some scenes aren't seen for anybody. Okay, what I said to Stan was, one of the most pivotal records, if we're going to review an album, we're going to go to song by song here, for me would have been, and this is apropos today, is Queen. Queen is on tour now. Where are they playing? When are they coming through? Do you know, Stan?
I think they're coming pretty soon to, I don't know if they're playing exactly in New York at the Garden, but I think Hutch mentioned.
Where are they playing, Hutch? Do you know?
I think they're playing, if I remember right, 3 shows at the Garden.
Oh, they are? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They might have added that in.
Lisa,
they,
you could look that up, actually.
Right.
Yes, I can.
But, yeah, they got Paul Rodgers with them now.
Okay, well, now this is an issue. It's kind of like the diet pill. There are great upsides and there are a few downsides here.
Right.
Are you a Paul Rodgers fan? Are you?
Well, I like Paul Rodgers when he was in Free.
Okay, because he's discussing here, but for those friends of ours, those of you who don't know who Paul Rodgers was, he's the guy who from Free, for example. That was his first band.
Right.
And he sang, do you know All Right Now, Brian? Do you know that song? Can you play that on the guitar one time? Do you know that song? Go for it. Da, da, da,
da. That's it, yeah.
Go ahead. There she stood in the street, smiling from her head to her feet. I said, hey, hey, what's your name, baby? That's Paul Rodgers.
Yes.
That's my Paul Rodgers imitation. What do you think?
I can That's pretty good.
I can do Springsteen, too. Here, but I can only do one note. Here we go. I got to clear my throat. Here we go.
Somebody step on a cat.
Tom and Dave, you're a good man. Anyway,
okay.
Paul Rodgers is that's that guy. He's from Bad Company, etc. And he's now singing for Queen. Does that go together in your mind?
No, I
Lisa,
don't know.
Lisa, they can't see you shake your head on the radio.
Oh, sorry. No, everybody has the same response when they hear that.
Is it just because of his voice difference?
That's
or
my reason.
What right, and I don't know. Well, you know what it is? I seen a DVD of the concert of Queen with Paul Rodgers.
Another bootleg, Stan?
No, this is actually a regular pressing.
Well, it wasn't your bootleg, but go ahead.
But the thing that turned me off was him, you know, doing singing a Bad Company songs with Queen.
Ouch.
Like Can't Get Enough of Your Love.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I mean?
It's remedial music compared to what Queen used to do, right?
And plus Paul Rodgers' voice is like sort of like a bluesy type of voice.
Well, he's got,
you know,
that baritone. It sounds kind of like, that's how he was one of the singers that you would imitate back in the late 60s, early 70s. So you get that tone, all
right?
And you heard the tone I just used. That's a classic soul growler tone that's closer to Wilson Pickett or whatever, but it doesn't fit in with that orchestrated arrangements and the classic fusion kind of vision that Freddie Mercury had.
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Hutch, let's go for the first one. This is the very first Queen album, okay? It came out like what,
1973 it was recorded.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was 4 years old then. Shut up, Stan. Okay. Listen to the tone on the guitar here. Go ahead. Turn it up, baby. Pure. Pure tone. One band on the stage. That's what you got. I was told a million times of all the troubles in my way. Might you grow a little wiser, a little better every day? But if I crossed a million rivers and I rode a million miles, then I'd still be where I started, bread and butter for a smile. I sold a million men. What you got is a band on stage. You hear how pure that sounds? It's
yeah.
a bass, a guitar, the drummer. You can imagine exactly what's happening there.
But listen to that guitar.
It's
that, rich. That was so unique at the, at this time. Like, it, you know, that that multi-tracking guitar. Like,
it sounds like a cross between a violin and a milk chocolate candy bar. Turn it
yeah.
up there, baby. The way he got that sound, a lot of people don't know. You would know, is those little Vox amplifiers.
Not just that, too, but he actually built his own guitar. Him and his father took... Matter of fact, I read an article about this. The body of the guitar is a piece of mahogany that they got from a fireplace mantle that was like 800 years old.
It's got a classic, rich kind of sound. You can't make a guitar out of plastic. You can't make
no,
it out of
no.
steel. It has a very different kind of sound.
Just like a Stradivarius violin, you know, the woods that they use. And,
sure.
You know.
And also that he's using the same little amplifiers that the Beatles used
That's
when they
right.
played
Vox
at Shea Stadium.
AC-30s.
These little tiny things. Imagine how different the Beatles sound. A lot of this is in the hands. When you play the guitar, it's all in the hands, I'm convinced, because this is the same exact rig that the Beatles would use. Turn it up there, Hutch. Turn it.
Drum solo, then.
Okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Who wants a t-shirt?
Yeah, listen to that guitar.
It's like a violin. This was my first contact, and I never knew it. Nobody knew it, that Freddie Mercury was, like, from India.
Yeah, you know, his do you know what his real name is?
Sanjeev Uchanka
no,
or something.
No, Farooq Balizarra.
That's almost better than Freddie Mercury.
From, I believe he's from Zanzibar.
No, yes, exactly he is. And he yeah. went to a private boarding school. He had a real elegant kind of education,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah, I heard that is that he left... left his house at like 13 or something to pursue music, and by 14 he had his own little band.
He was an extraordinary character, and his
yeah.
background, as you can hear from different... Put the next track on here, Hutch. As you can hear, the dynamic range. This is what we used to call fusion rock as well, and because they employed all kinds of other elements beyond just rock and roll.
Right.
You had jazz, you had folk, you had accelerated electric jazz. Go ahead and jam that second track there. Ready going through his Broadway moves.
Yeah.
West Side Story, right?
Yesterday, my life was in ruins.
This is the stuff you never get on the radio.
Today,
that's Freddie.
I know
yeah.
what I'll do.
Tell you, I miss him, boy.
Got a feeling I should be doing.
And he did all the vocals, too.
Right.
Almost every single vocal was Freddie stacking up. It's now young he sounds there. And now watch, it's going to shift up. Here's where it goes into the classical mode. When we talked about classical rock... And they start to move it like an orchestra would.
Right.
Watch, it's going to switch.
Yeah.
It's all the same singer.
Looking round to find the words to say. Should be waiting for the skies to clear. There were time in all the world.
These kinds of songs work in dynamic. Now, you'll hear these kinds of moves and changes in jazz music, popular jazz, wave music, or whatever.
Listen to the guitar in this coming up here. This part.
They fool you.
Yeah, they, right.
We had to wait till Nirvana to reinvent this dynamic move. Listen.
Anyway, I got to highlight. Wait, wait.
sort of Zeppelin, like Zeppelin, you know?
Just like everybody's still imitating.
Yeah. Such a unique guitar sound.
Completely.
You know, like,
you can hear a lot of the roots for Van Halen in this music as well.
I was going to say, there's a song on here where I heard, I was listening, and I said, I bet you Eddie got a guitar sound from
No, he didn't get a guitar sound. We studied this record frame for frame.
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to say, because when I asked you about influences, all of a sudden you said, we're doing the Queen's first album.
This was not an influence. This was a blueprint.
This was
an architectural diagram for this band in a way to structure songs, a way to twist out those vocals, guitar sound, etc. We studied this frame for frame like it was the Magruder film, babe. Don't go away. More with Stan the Man, our weekly record review, the first Queen album. Roth Radio, good to go.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.